The scripture for this morning will be in 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. I presume you have noted this morning that the emphasis has been upon one singular thing, the Word of God. Notice that even the children sang about God's Word. And that will be our focus this morning. But before we look into the Word, let's look to the God of the Word and pray. Father, we thank you that we've been able to share together as a family of God. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand, especially salvation through Christ our Lord. We thank you that he was the Word of God who became flesh and revealed God's love and God's truth. And we thank you that after he left, that you gave the Word of God in the Old Testament and afterwards in the New for men to know your Word for their lives and for their welfare. Bless the word as we consider it this morning. May Christ, the living word, be honored. We pray it in his name. Amen. In Germany, a little bit after the beginning of the 15th century, Martin Luther, incidentally, who wrote A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he was an Augustinian monk who became a priest and then a teacher at the University of Wittenberg for a number of years. He often taught about the Bible, the Psalms, Hebrew, and so on, but he gave special attention in his studies to the book of Galatians and the book of Romans. And as time progressed and as he studied the scriptures, in particular the book of Romans, an expression of the Apostle Paul, which he gives in the first chapter of Romans in verse 17, struck him and captivated his heart. The just shall live by faith. And that is a citation of what Habakkuk said in his day of old. Luther could not get away from that. He wrestled with it because he had been brought up in the Roman church. But the more he studied the word and the more God worked in his heart, the more he realized the just have to live by faith. And furthermore, on his studies of the book of Galatians, Romans, and elsewhere, he came and was convinced that what the Roman church was teaching about salvation was fallacious. For they taught that salvation was by faith and good works. And he knew the scripture said, by faith you are saved. By faith you are justified. By faith you are brought into a vital and living relationship with the Lord. For even an extended time and years afterwards, he did further study regarding the matter. And in discussions and debates with individuals, he became increasingly aware and convinced that it was true. Faith is the way to God, apart from works. But he realized also in the Roman church that there were, as it were, fallacious doctrines and additives to the Word of God. And in the course of his study, he came and wrote down the three things which from the depths of his heart were essential for matters of Christians to attend, believe, and defend. Number one, man is justified solely by faith. Number two, every believer has access to God. He is a priest with God. He doesn't have to go to a priest to intervene for him, such as in the Roman church. Number three, that the Word of God is the absolute authority for faith and for life. He argued that, he defended that, he was epitomized, he was criticized, he was thanked. And there were those who were sympathetic with him, and their number increased and great. And as he spoke and he protested and critically dealt with those of the Roman church, there were those who became increasingly sympathetic with him. And they joined him in his concern, in his, quote, protest. And they became known as the Protestants, or as we say today, Protestants. Martin Luther defended salvation by faith, access to God for every believer, and the Bible as a sole authority for life and for faith. The Roman Church was not happy. And furthermore, when he saw what they were doing regarding indulgences, you do this much, you pay this much, and you'll be forgiven for your sins, he said, this is contrary to Scripture. And he wrote down his grievances and posted them on the church door at Wittenberg, and they're called the 95 Theses, in which he expressed his concern and grievances with what the Roman Church was doing regarding the matter of forgiveness, indulgence, and all the rest. Increasingly, the church was disturbed, but he would not compromise nor back down. And increasingly, folks identified with Luther and began to follow him and to leave the church. Finally, there came a time when the Roman Church called for Luther to stand before them at the Diet of Worms. They said, we demand that you recant. You pull back and deny everything you have written and said. And Luther stood there and said, I cannot and I will not. My conscience is captive to the word of God. God, help me. They put him out of the church. But the number grew. Church history refers to that as the time of the Reformation. And for those who were the participants, the Protestants or Protestants. What was it that made Martin Luther the man he was regarding faith and truth? The Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Quite a man. That is why we remember the Reformation. There's another man who was equally as determined and committed to the Word of God. He's an Old Testament character. I would give his name, but I don't know how many of us would know who I'm talking about. Oh, I'll give it. His name is Josiah. His name is Josiah. How many here, don't raise your hand, how many here could tell us anything about Josiah? He is seldom considered, seldom thought about, seldom preached, seldom taught, seldom talked about. And yet you know that God said that he was a man among men in his day. But sadly, we never hear much about Josiah. Josiah was a man who preceded Luther in commitment to the Word of God. And you have the life of Josiah described, recorded in four chapters in the Bible, 2 Kings 22 and 23, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35. This sermon will not deal with Martin Luther, but it will focus on Josiah. Because I and you can learn much from him regarding the importance of the Word of God, the Scriptures. Josiah is an interesting man. If you have your Bibles open, look please at chapter 22. Chapter 22 and what God says about this man. 2 Kings 22 and verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now turn to the 23rd chapter, chapter 23 and verse 25. Chapter 23, verse 25. Now before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. What is God saying? He was one of a kind because he was so committed to the Word of God. Isn't it strange we seldom talk about Josiah? And yet God underscores his life as being above all others regarding commitment to God and his Word. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Look, please, chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 31 years in Jerusalem, and that is over the people of Judah, the people of Judah. During that time, while he was growing from 8 years old and further, he increasingly recognized that in his land, God and his law were being ignored. That the temple was crumbling. That God's truth was forsaken and priests were practically pagans in their conduct and what else they were doing. Apparently, somewhere along between the age of 18 and 26, Josiah has a real encounter and commitment with God. And he determines, I'm going to give myself to honor him and obey him. In the light of what truth of God Josiah himself knew. So at the age of 26, look please at verse 3. Now it came to pass in his 18th year, that doesn't mean when he was 18 years old, but in the 18th year of his reign, at which time he is 26, of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphath the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. He said, I want the temple to be restored. And I want to see how much money there is in the temple that wood, other matters can be bought to get the temple back in shape as it should be. So he is diligent in initiating his corrections of what's going on in Israel. And he wants the temple repaired. He wants the temple repaired. And so it begins. But what soon happened is amazing. And what followed is spectacular. What am I talking about? Look, please, at verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's like coming into Ironworks Church and finding the Bible. Where else should the Torah be? But in the temple of God. Apparently it had been hidden or deliberately set aside and ignored for years, so nobody knew what it said. The word of God was found by Hilkiah. It was found. Somehow in my life and in yours, the word of God is hidden. Maybe in our homes. It is seldom perused, seldom read, seldom studied, seldom memorized. We need to rediscover it. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but what's the rest? The word of God will abide forever. We think it's Time Magazine or Sports Illustrated. No, it's the word of God. We allow other books to supplant the word, even Christian books or devotionals. They are good, but they are not the word of God, the Bible. They may cite the word, but the word is to be read. First thing, because Josiah said, get the temple in order, God's word was found. A woman was putting groceries from her car into from the grocery cart into her car. Got everything in there. She took the cart, she pushed it back, put it in a rack, and suddenly she saw there was an item and she forgot. She picked it up and walked back. She was going back to the car and said, Lady, what? Lady. She turned around and he said, you forgot your little boy. She had pushed the grocery cart back to the rack and left her boy in there. But she had her groceries. We're like that regarding Scripture. Everything else, but we forget the Word. Thank God for Josiah's directive, repair the temple, during which the Word of God was found. We need to be occupied with the Word, but sadly for many of us, the Word is virtually forgotten. Given little focus, seldom read. It's as if it's lost. We need to rediscover it, to find it, just like was done in Josiah's day. There's a second truth. In verse 11, I should say in verse 10, then Shaphat the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, or the Torah. And Shaphat read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. It wasn't enough to have the Torah found, but Hilkiah took it, gave it to Shaphan the scribe, and he read the word of God to Josiah. He read it to him. And when it was read, it struck Josiah. So it broke his heart. What he was hearing, he had never heard before. Which tells you about the spiritual state in Israel at that time. He was broken. Shaphan read the word of God. It moved his heart. Folks, a person who does not read their Bible and professes faith in Christ has no advantage over someone who does not have a Bible or cannot read. And yet all of us have the Word of God. We not only have to rediscover it for ourselves, but we have to read it, study it, consume it. My son went to college, a liberal college. He'd been there several years. He came home after one semester and he said, Dad, I don't know about this Christianity stuff and the Bible. And his father said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, you know, Jonah is not true. In fact, Jonah's not true. Jonah's a fable. And he said, where do you get that? He said, my professor. He said, your professors are liberal, godless men. Jonah's in the Bible. Dad, it is not. It is true. He said, I'll prove it. So the dad goes and he gets his Bible. The son follows him. The father starts looking. And he starts looking. And he looks. And he looks. And he can't find Jonah. Finally, the son said, Dad, stop. 2 years ago, I cut the book of Jonah out of your Bible. And the father never knew it. Why? He wasn't in the Word. He wasn't reading the Scriptures. God help us. And for those who don't read, it's like God take and all we have is the cover and nothing in between. Your word was found as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God is light. It gives understanding to the simple. You and I have to rediscover the word. We have to study the word of God to know what it says, to know what it teaches, to know what it commands, to know what it refutes. So we can say, no. This is what the word says. 2 weeks ago, I was in jail at the Bible class. Man came up afterwards, says, well, it says this, says that. And said, I said, no, it doesn't say that. Yes, it does. I said, where does it say? Well, I said, let's turn to the scripture. Now, this was after the class. And the men were waiting for a guard to come in and to put them back into the pod or their cells. And I pointed out, I says, notice what it says here. Wow. I didn't know that. Do you know why I was able to point that scripture out to him? Because I knew it. Because I had to study and read it for myself to get it in my mind and heart so I can tell him about it. Back to 2 Kings. The word of God was rediscovered. It was read. Josiah heard it. Now look at verse 11 again. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. In the ancient days, oftentimes they would throw dust in the air and whatever else, or they tear the clothes at times of great grief and mourning. He's heard the Torah. And it's believed to be the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, as we have them in Deuteronomy. And he hears what it is, and it just tears at his heart. So he, oh God! And he tore his clothes. Do you know why? He believed what he heard. He believed what was said. It says that some people change their ways when they see the light, and only others when they feel the heat. And I'm not being disrespectful, but sometimes when you read the Word of God, you feel the heat of God saying, you know, this is what you're not doing. You're not listening. You're not attending. Josiah was so moved, so grieved that he didn't know the word of God. and believing what was read by Shaphan the scribe. Notice verse 12 and 13. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Eker the son of Milkiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, servant of the king, saying, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Josiah heard the word of God. He was so moved by the scriptures. He was so broken. He wanted to hear more of what God had to say to him and to others. He heard the word of God. He believed it. And he believed it so much, he said, I need to hear more. Years ago, in a small town in Russia, a pastor of the church wanted to increase the attendance with young children, so he offered candy to them to come to church. When they came, he gave them a scripture to memorize, and if they quoted the scripture, they got a piece of candy. One was a little guy, little feisty fellow. He had a great memory. He memorized the scripture. They gave him a piece of candy, but he didn't stay with the other kids. He went out into the field to eat it alone. And he got a hold of the heart of the pastor, the leader, and he said, I'm going to do something. He walked up and he said to the boy, hey, you got a good mind. You got to come to our church school. Come on. Come on. I'll give you rewards. And he spent a lot of time with that little guy, encouraging him, giving rewards as he would memorize scripture. In time, that little boy memorized the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John. And he stood up one day in church and he cited them all from memory. 60 years later, that same boy, who is now a man, though he had the Word of God in his heart, I mean, the Word of God in his head, it never got in his heart. He became a godless leader, atheist, Premier of Russia, Nikita Khrushchev. And he often cited the Bible to make a point. But the Bible never made a point in his heart. He had it here in his head in memorization, but it never moved his heart. Josiah, when they found the word, it was read. He believed it in the depths of his heart. What do you do and what do I do when I read the Word of God? We say, well, I don't know. Or do you say, God, that's for me. Do we believe it? Find the Word of God. Discover it again. Read it. Believe it. Now look at chapter 23. Chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and with all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which have been found in the house of the Lord. It sounds like President Obama, doesn't it? Do you know any other president of the United States who's read that to the Senate, to the representatives? Now we're told in government, don't cite the Word of God. Don't read the Word of God. And if a politician gets up, they say, you are not politically correct. Josiah got all the leaders and he said, come here. And he took the Torah and he read it to them. He believed and he was not ashamed to share it. He was not ashamed to share it. Incidentally, that's what he was supposed to do. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Deuteronomy, chapter 17. Note what it says is a requirement of any who would be king among God's people. In chapter 17, he's talking to the Jews, verse 15. You shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. But notice what it says in verse 18 about the king. It shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the ones before the priest and Levite. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up among his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. How many of us know that responsibility of the king? Josiah said, I'm going to do what it says. And God said, there wasn't another king like him. Not another king like him. David Livingstone was the pioneer missionary from Scotland who went to Africa. 1840, he broke into that particular country. In three of the packs, he had 73 books. And as he walked along, they increasingly became heavier. When he got about 300 miles, he dismissed or put aside some of the books to lighten up the load. And he walked further. And the further he walked, the heavier those books got. And he got to the point where he took all of those books and laid them aside to continue on. But one book. And you know what book he carried with him until the day he died? This book. And he opened Africa for God with the Bible. Above all else, that was David Livingstone. After I retired, I served 7 years as a representative of Bibles International, the translation ministry of Baptist Mid-Missions. I covered the Midwest, went and preached and taught and so on. I was glad to be involved in ministry because unlike Tribes Missions or Wycliffe, Bibles International, and I was there when it got started, and I knew the man who got it started, and I prayed with him, encouraged him and everything. We translate only for minority languages. One translation of the Gospels we did for 15,000 people. Just 15. Say, oh, what? Don't they deserve the Word of God? That's the focus of Bibles International. Minority language people. They completed a translation of the Pite Bible for a people in Northeast India. When they got there, representatives of Bibles International, there was a great dedication and people of the town were everywhere, happy, dancing and singing. The Bible was dedicated. Oh, they were so happy and they grabbed the copies of the Bible in my language, I can read it. But there are people elsewhere in that town of the people and round about who weren't at the dedication ceremony or did not get a Bible. So later that day, the town fathers said, turn up all the volume on the amplifiers or the speakers in the town. And Christians began at Genesis, and they began to read through the entire Bible over the loudspeakers of the town. They had never heard the Word of God in their language. It took 110 hours of nonstop reading. They were so glad to get God's Word in their language. We cover the Word of God, read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, share the Word of God. Now look at chapter 23 and verse 3 again. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Josiah heard the word of God moved. He was so moved in his heart, it captivated him. He believed. He shared it. And now, he deliberately and willfully, publicly obeys it. He obeys what it says. We who say we believe the Bible, you and I know there are times we say we're doing something that we know is contradicting Scripture, but we do it anyway. James said, don't just be hearers of the word, but what? Doers. Jesus said, after giving the teaching on the mount, I don't call it a sermon, it was a teaching, the teaching on the mount, he said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, he shall be like a man who builds on a rock. And you know the rest of the story. You know the rest of the story. Josiah publicly declared, I will obey God's word. And he shared it with all the people, unashamedly. Abdul-Rahman, you probably heard about him about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, was an Afghanistan believer. He trusted Christ in a Muslim country. He believed in Christ, though his wife and his family did not. Oh, and he was so caught up with his love for the Lord, he just needed a Bible. And somehow he got a hold of a Bible, and it became the treasure of his heart and his life. The Muslims found out he had a Bible, and they said to him, get rid of it. Get rid of it. He wouldn't do it. The threat was that he would be killed. He said, I will not give it up. Word of Abdul-Rahman's circumstance reached around the world, even the United States, and protests were sent to Afghanistan and to the Muslim to say, don't you dare touch him because he wants to keep his Bible. But they wouldn't. They kept the threats up. His wife said, you're crazy. Give it up. He wouldn't give it up on the threat of death. Italy offered him asylum. That's where he went. Because he wouldn't give up the Word of God. His family, as far as I know, is still back in Afghanistan in unbelief. But he will not give up the Word. Martin Luther was a remarkable man. But then there was Josiah. And he changed the heart of a nation before it was destroyed. Hey, did he benefit from what he did? Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22. Through another, God sends the word of God and speaks to Josiah. Look at verse 19. Speaking to Josiah, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. What did God say to Josiah? Because you believed me, my word, you're not going to suffer as your other people, but you will die in peace. You know what God was saying? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. When you and I stand before God, will he, with regard to the word of God we have and what we did, will he say, well done, with my word, you good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we know that a life of a man is tenuous, is temporary. And Josiah, while the account in the Bible is brief, and he ultimately was to die in a battle, that when he died, there was peace between him and the Lord. And how our God, you honored him and said he was a man above all men, none like him to follow. May it be us that God could say to us, we are men and women who are above the many others because we honor, we believe, we share, we obey your word. The sure foundation of Luther's conviction, of Josiah's life, and may it be for ours as well. We pray in our Lord the Christ. Amen.